Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
And gets the signal, now accelerates, grabs the puck, wheels into the slot, stick handles, shoots, and Vanacek gloves it. And this game has gone final. The Washington Capitals victorious in the shootout over the Boston Bruins 2-1 here at TD Garden.
And that's how we're going to start. We're going to start some hockey. In the first hour here of Felger Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Maz and Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm remote. Maz, what'd you make of last night?
So there were times in that game last night, good new, where I thought it looked like men among boys. I just the Capitals scare the crap out of me. And, if you were to say to me, what series would I ever love to see as a total aside? These Capitals against the Blues of 2 years ago, that would be a fun series. Watching those two teams kick the crap out of each other. I felt like men against boys. I think in a seven-game series, the Bruins have one chance against Washington. And that is that Tuukka has to do exactly what he did last night, and they got to steal a couple of goals and win the game. Because otherwise, I give them no shot against Washington. None. I just think the Caps are big. They're bigger, they're faster, they're more skilled, they're meaner. That team to me is frightening when they want to play. Frightening.
Yeah, I thought the Capitals were the better overall team last night. They don't terrify me, though. I've said this for a while. No one in this division is currently constituted really scares me. The Bruins can hang or beat any of these teams. But as far as last night goes, Rask got them that point. It was Rask. That's the only reason that they got the point. I know I rag on them. I'll never trust him again in the playoffs or at least in the Stanley Cup final, but he was awesome in that game last night, and the rebound control was ridiculous. I don't know what else to say other than, like, the only reason they got to overtime and got a point, it's because of the goalie, period.
So I agree with both of those points. I think the Caps are the better team. I think they manhandled you at points last night, manhandled. And I think even when you get to full health and your D is in line. Lozon's back. Charlie Coyle's back, even with Krejci at full strength, which he clearly wasn't last night. I thought Krejci looked like he had missed some time, as he had, and sort of showed that. So you're a little depleted right now. You know, I think your roster's better than what you put on the ice last night. You know, you take Tenorti off. You put Lozon back on. You get Coyle there as your third center. Krejci at full strength. I think you close the gap, but I think even at full strength, you are a cut below that team. And so I think my big takeaway is, you know, you competed with them, and I'm not telling you the gap is huge or anything like this. And I love the fact that I don't have to look at Holtby in these matchups. The goaltending, I agree with you, Maz, gives you a sniff. You probably have the check mark now in net against this team, where I never used to give that to you. So I think it's close. I think it's a, you know, you can win the series. You know, you can pull an upset and beat a team that's better than you. That happens all the time in hockey. So I don't think it's hopeless, but just roster to roster, team to team, I think Sweeney has to do something if you want to win on pure talent alone against the Capitals. That's what I think.
Oh, I think they're stacked. Like, I just, and again, you know that I put an emphasis on this. They're freaking huge. They're huge. Every guy feels like he's 6'2", 225. It feels that way. And I know they're all not, but it feels that way. And they push you around constantly. And so the Bruins are bigger than they were a year ago. But relative to that team, they're still small. I think that's what makes the Caps challenging to me in a series. They'll do to the Bruins what the Blues did 2 years ago. They'll just eventually you'll get to the end and you'll be battered and weary, and you just won't be able to give anything because you don't have anything left.
Okay, but I think you have more of the mentality that you need. And this leads me to the Trent Frederick kid, who I just love. I just adore. And I think that Bruins desperately need a guy like that. He would have absolutely helped you against the Blues a couple years ago, because it's not just size, it's intimidation that goes along with the size. You got intimidated against the Blues, and you didn't have enough guys to go nose-to-nose with some of those guys, and that's still a part of hockey. Fighting is obviously not even close to what it once was, but there is an intimidation factor in that sport, and I think you see it. You know, the deeper you get in the playoffs, you see it. You see it. Tampa is not just super skilled. They have some size, and they made a point. They made a point to add that grit last year, and it, you know, turned them into a whole different team. And a lot of the good teams have it, and I think you were lacking in it. And that's why I think that Trent Frederick kid is so valuable to you. I mean, he wanted to fight Ovechkin. You just don't get rookies. You know, never mind Wilson. You know, like, that is Trent Frederick is not one of these fake fighters that, you know, he picks his matchup or he stays in his weight class, or he wanted to go with Ovechkin. And he did his job. He did his job. He should have drawn a power play at the end of the third period. I thought the fact that the refs squared off those penalties when Ovechkin racked him in the groin, I thought the fact that the refs squared off those penalties was chicken bleep. I thought that was ridiculous. I think that was Ovechkin getting a call because he's Ovechkin. And by no rights should that have been 4-on-4. That should have been Bruins power play. And that's all because of Frederick getting in that guy's face. And boy, do the Bruins need that. My only yeah but with Frederick.
He's starting to bug me.
Well, okay. Let me just tell you that you shouldn't have to use a first-round pick to get that. You know, to get an agitator like that, or a tough guy like that, or a nose-to-nose guy, you shouldn't have to use a first-round pick on that. But why is he bugging you, Maz?
So, look, I like the idea of Frederick. Okay, I like the idea. I like what he brings. I like all of that. Last night, I felt like it was premeditated. Like, he was just running around out there trying to pick a fight with Ovechkin because he's starting to read all the clips about how he'll take on Wilson. He's one of these tough guys. And all of a sudden, it's, oh, well, the next time we get him, I'm taking on Ovechkin. Like, okay, great. That's great. Can you also play? Like, I need to know that you can play. Last night, I felt like he was just interested in getting in a fight. That's it.
Can Pat Maroon play?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, a little bit. And so I'd like Nick Ritchie to be more like Pat Maroon. Like, you know, to me, that's sort of a separate discussion. But last night I sort of felt like Frederick crossed in a clown category. Like, I felt it was a little clownish. Like, you know, he's dropping his gloves and grabbing Ovechkin. Ovechkin's looking at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah, for clown strong, like, I like that he's a habitual poop stirrer, but I do think on, you know, this is where I'm with you, Maz, like, he's got to learn that not every single guy is going to fight him whenever he wants him to. I just think he has to pick his spots better. Like, while I thought it was funny on one hand, on the other, it's like, what are you doing here going after Ovechkin?
But how did that hurt you?
Well, so look, but he got Ovechkin off the ice. I mean, you'll take the one-for-one swap, I suppose, like just to get Ovechkin off the ice.
It should have been a power play. You should have been on a power play with 5 minutes left in the third period.
Yeah, they got screwed by the refs there, but there was an air of contrived to it, I thought.
Yeah, so that's how I felt. I just felt like it was contrived. And you know what? It's not that I don't mind the boost he gives them, because I do. But I felt like last night, which, again, it's great. Can you also play the hockey, though? Like, when the game gets like that, can you play the hockey? Hmm. And it bugged me last night. It did. I'm not going to lie to you. It bugged me.
Oh, I love him, kid. I love the kid. I think they need him. I think they need him or someone like him. They just need that element. They turtled against the Blues a couple years ago. Turtled.
Yep.
Just turtled. And I think that has been part of the thing with the Capitals over the years. You know, they've turtled against the Capitals. They don't have enough. They're not going to match them in size. They're just not. You just... Bergeron and Marchand and those guys, they're smaller guys, just the way they're going to be. Like, you can't close that gap. But can you have guys that will stand up to it and engage in it? And, I mean, I guess it's contrived. I'm glad it was contrived. He got in Ovechkin's face. He got him off his game. He almost got him off the ice. He got him off the ice in the third period. That should have been a power play. He's kept his cool. He hasn't taken any stupid penalties. He's not like Marchand early in his career, who was going around hurting people and cheap-shotting people and taking bad penalties. I haven't seen Trent Frederick really do that. And I just disagree with you on that one. I think he brings a piece to him. Now, it's not going to close the gap, and it's just a piece to it. You know, it's a piece to it. I still think the Capitals have him outgunned. You know, they have him outgunned. But I think at least Frederick, you know, closes that intimidation gap and gives you a little something to go back at him with that I like. And even Richie, I disagree. Are people down on Richie from last night? I thought he threw a couple of checks. He threw a couple of checks last night that were, dare I say, thunderous.
He doesn't hit enough.
Well, maybe he can't get to the guys. And I'm not telling you this is like, you know, he ain't Cam Neely or anything like that. But he gives them something they haven't had, at least some of the time.
Yeah, you sound like you're higher on them after last night's game than I am. Because, I felt like how long did it take him to get a shot on goal? And I know Pasternak hit the post.
Okay, No. The team got manhandled. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, I saw Richie hit a few guys. And Frederick, he totally got in the kitchen of the other team's best player and got him off the ice in the third period. I consider those positive things.
Yeah, I would just like to see Frederick, instead of dropping the gloves and grabbing Ovechkin by the shirt or the jersey and having Ovechkin look at him like, who are you and what are you doing here? Because that's what it was like. Ovechkin looked at him like, are you serious? You think, like, really?
So what?
Okay, so, but instead of doing that, how about trying to actually line him up and knock him on his ass? Can you do that instead of dropping the gloves? Like, you want to hit him? Hit him. Get him to turn over the puck. Hit him. Knock him on his ass. It felt clownish to me. It did. And maybe I am going too far. Last night was the first, because I like Frederick too. And he's a kid. So there's a growth curve there. But I also looked at it last night and say, are you just doing it for the sake of doing it now? Or are you actually doing it because you think it matters tonight?
Well,
like it felt like, not really, though. Not to me, it didn't.
He got to Ovechkin. He got Ovechkin off the ice in the third period. That's sort of the goal of that whole thing.
Yeah.
If that hadn't happened and Ovechkin didn't score, I mean, Ovechkin was all over the ice. I mean, he shot a ton and was out there, but he didn't find the score sheet, and he got him off the ice in the third period. Like, that, I think, is sort of the job. I don't know. It worked. If he hadn't gotten that penalty in the third period, I'd say, well, what did you really get out of it?
I just want Frederick to be more than that.
How'd you feel about, you know, on the officiating, how'd you feel about the Bruins getting that review in the first period or second period, whenever that was?
I'm one of the few people, apparently, who thought it was the right call. So when it happened, and they you know, and I know it was hard to see the puck, but if you looked closely, you could see that the flip into the zone was too high. That was the mistake with it, because
did they ever release an angle where you actually saw the thing?
So I saw it on Twitter. You know, our old intern Tucker put one up where he circled the puck in red. But there was one replay that they showed, and I think it was the same one that Tucker ended up putting on Twitter, which I retweeted if people want to see it. It's out there. So, but on that image, you can see that the puck is over the puck is right at the blue line or thereabouts, and Oshie is probably, I don't know, a foot into the zone. Maybe, and in watching the play on replay, when the guy flips the puck and Oshie goes into the zone, I looked at it and said, he's offside. The puck's too high. Like, the flip was too, if it was a lower flip, it would have worked. But I think the guy flipped it too high. It hung, it got, you know, it went vertical instead of horizontal, and Oshie beat it into the zone. I thought it was the right call.
Yeah, so.
I thought they got a gift.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if it was right or wrong. I still haven't seen it. I'm not on Twitter. I haven't seen the camera shot. But either way, it's a, you know. They got lucky.
Yeah,
I mean, because
sure.
it's a matter of inches whether it was the right call or the wrong call. And boy, was your third D exposed on that. That Tenorti Clifton pairing, like, so like that should, when you get full health, when you get Lozon back and everyone slots, that is not, you won't see Clifton and that big stiff out there together, and you'll close some of the gap, but. Not all the gap. And I think if you want to go talent to talent on the Caps, there has to be a trade, which Bob McKenzie talked about between periods. He also dropped a nugget about Tuukka Rask and his contract. I want to get to those items. And more your thoughts on the Bees. Start with some hockey talk and you at 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. On the Sports Hub app.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Far circle, Frederick got a piece of it. Bumped by Ovechkin. And then Frederick with a couple of jabs, and Ovechkin takes down Frederick. Frederick and Ovechkin will head off the ice. Twos pop on the board. In a 1-1 game with 5.5 minutes remaining.
Yeah, a lot of chirping going on between those two while they're in the box. That's Ovechkin came up with a spear to the groin of Frederick. Frederick gave him a couple cross checks, but that's Ovechkin with a slash. Frederick with two cross checks, and Ovechkin came up with that stick to the groin.
Not have been 4-on-4. I'm sorry. The Frederick cross checks were not penalty worthy. They were just, well, after the whistle taps.
Pretty run of the mill.
When Marchand, was it Marchand or Lucic? Who did it to Danny DeKeyser with the
Lucic.
It was Lucic?
Yeah.
Did he get suspended?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, I think it's a it happens in hockey. They call it a cup check.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like such a part of the game. So I guess it's, you know, the players aren't that outraged by it, but they should be. I would be. That is cheap. You can do that anytime you want. Haul off and crack someone in the gonads with your hockey stick. Like, and if it's sort of allowed or it's like accepted in the hockey world, like, geez, guys, do you want to have kids? Like, what are you running around whacking each other in the balls?
I mean, that's as dirty as it gets.
I mean, so, like, I think Frederick did his job there, and the refs chickened out. The refs chickened out. They didn't want to send Ovechkin off on his own. We'll get to the trade stuff with the Bruins here coming up, but two calls first. Let's lead off with Ed in Providence. Go ahead, Ed.
Guys, Number one, I think Ovechkin should have got five, and Frederick two on that. But number two, I just got to say, Tony, I mean, I got to be honest. I feel like you got Fazul's for brains on this one, because this guy, maybe Frederick will develop into a well-rounded player, but right now he's got a role, and his role is an agitator. The agitation is to get the better talented guy off the ice. He succeeded. He wasn't being a clown. He got under Ovechkin's skin. He knocked him down. You know what I mean? It's not like he didn't knock him down first, which got him upset. So, really, it worked. So I don't get it. I don't understand what your contrarian point of view is on this.
Yeah, so look, again, the thing with the cross-check and then him getting hit in the nuts didn't bother me as much as the whole thing with the fight. Like, you know, it's just... it felt contrived to me. That's all. And again, I fully accept the fact that today I am going to get absolutely beat over the head with a shovel for this take, because I know how Bruins fans are. You guys all love the guy who will be the agitator and drop the gloves and be a pain in the ass. So I knew full well coming in here that it was going to have this effect, and it doesn't make it contrived. I just last night I just thought it was like, all right, enough already. Can you actually play? So yeah, can you play?
I was far more impressed with he had a bomb of a hit that he laid on Tom Wilson early in the second period.
I remember that.
Than I am with the Ovechkin thing.
Me too.
Like, the latter is funny, and yes, you got him off the ice and you got boned by the refs, but the hit to me sends more of a message that they're not going to be intimidated by this team. Then, again, I'm with you, Maz. Like, that thing, again, while funny and I enjoyed it at the moment, it just felt forced. It did.
Well, and I agree that Bruins fans take it too far. I mean, I'm not falling into that trap, except... Actually, factually, the Bruins lost a Stanley Cup because they didn't have enough of that element in their game.
Okay, but I think there's a line there, Mike. That's all I'm saying. I think there's a line where you can hold your ground, you can be tough, and you can be effective without being clownish.
I thought that Ovechkin's face told the whole story. Like, are you kidding me, kid?
That's how I felt, too. That's how I felt, too.
Well, that's what made it look bad, because... Ovechkin showed him up with that. Like, Ovechkin gave him the, are you kidding? Who are you?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a dick move by Ovechkin, but everyone falls for it. You know, I mean, everyone goes for it because he's a Ovechkin and this is a rookie nobody. So it's like, you know, don't you look like an idiot, Frederick? Where I don't think he did anything idiotic. Ovechkin came at him. Ovechkin went hard into the boards behind the net. Ovechkin came at him like, let's go. I mean, that sort of was the look in Ovechkin's eye. And then Frederick dropped the gloves, and Ovechkin gave him the, you know, big timed him. But either way, I'm sorry. The agitator, the guy who's trying to prove himself, a lot of those guys don't pick guys out of their weight class, and they don't take on the Ovechkins, and they don't take on those guys. Frederick is freaking – I think Frederick's legitimately nuts. I do. I think there's something not right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're probably right about that.
There's a screw loose there.
I mean, even the way he grabs guys the right way. It's not like he grabs them and keeps them at arm lengths. You know, there was a scrum in front of the net where he grabs a guy and brings him right into his face. Like, he starts tugging the guy. There's even a way that he grabs him that tells me he's a little different. Again, my only beef with him is that, or them, and the whole thing is, he was a first-round pick. Okay, I mean, I should be able to find what he's done so far in his NHL career in the freaking on the Charlestown Chiefs or whatever. I don't need to use a first round pick,
right? Not tough to find a lunatic that likes to fight and knows how to skate.
Well,
in
right,
the
Boston so that's
area.
That's another thing. Is like, is that what this guy is?
Okay, so that's a fair argument.
But yeah, can he play? I want to know, can he play?
In terms of what he brings to the team, they need it. Brian in the car, go ahead, Brian.
So I just wanted to emulate what the last caller said. Trent Frederick does have a role in this team. His role is to agitate. He got baited a little bit by Ovechkin. Yes, I'll admit that. But for Maz, just to say, you know, through the short season so far that you want to see him play, he's playing. He's doing his thing. He's learning the game. He's getting under people's skin. He's laying out people like Tom Wilson. And he's going up against, you know, superstars like Ovechkin. Ovechkin did give him the boo, but, you know, he's learning. He's doing his role. He's doing his thing. I just think, Maz, you're judging a book by its cover way too early.
Well, say it, Brian. Go ahead, say it. Well, he's gone.
Oh, what do you want him to say?
Well, no, in the subject line, it said, yeah, Maz, stick to baseball. I mean, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I'm just telling you, I thought last night it became a little much. That's all. And so, and again, maybe Ovechkin is the one that sort of, that led me to that sort of opinion. It's entirely possible. But I just thought, you know, in a game like that, Just keep knocking people on their ass. Get in their face. And, Mike, the scrums, I got no issue with that. Him grabbing a guy and giving him the sort of speed bag. Like, I love that. I mean, I'm okay with all of that. I just feel like last night it went a little too far.
David in Fitchburg. Hi, David.
Hey, yeah, Maz, I understand what you're trying to say about Frederick in regards to, you know, learning when there's a right time and a place to do it. And I think that will come with him being a rookie. There will be growing pains. But what I really noticed last night was them in overtime just skating in circles in their own zone. It's like they beat themselves in overtime multiple times. It's like it's real painful to watch. Well, Tucker Rask was the reason why they got that 1 point.
Oh, you bet. Oh, that post-to-post, that 2-on-1 overtime, what a save that was.
Tremendous.
He made a couple early and then a couple late that just, I mean, he got you the point. And there were times you were freaking manhandled because this, I don't know if you want to accept it or not, Bruins fans, but the Caps are better. They're better. I don't think the gap is as big as it looked at times last night because, again, Krejci was just back and he looked it. That line was not great. I think Krejci looked like a guy who had just missed a month or whatever it is. So, and Coyle was out, and so you lost sort of all that depth there in the middle. And Lozon is out, and you've got that.
I mean, Miller too, if you count him, right? Another one.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, so that last pairing is Tenorti and Connor Clifton, which is not exactly what you drew up. A little bit of the odd couple there. And that Tenorti guy, I mean, you want to get into all that. It's kind of scary. You got a big 6'6 veteran left shot defenseman back there that you need when you kind of had one of those and decided to let him go. I still think it was the right thing for the Bruins to do, but that Tenorti should scare you. If Tenorti's playing for you and he's playing a lot for you, something went really wrong. Something went wrong. Either injuries have happened, which is no one's fault, or these kids can't play. And, you know, that would be a worse outcome.
Yeah, he was soft on that goal that got called back, too. I mean, Oshie's right there. Like, don't let him... First of all, you missed the puck. Secondly, push his ass out of there. You're huge. You're gigantic. Get his ass out of there. Like, so that one bugged the crap out of me. And, Mike, to your point, against a team like that, Coyle's huge for them.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just one of the few guys that they have that can hold on to the puck and keep people away with his strength. And I say few, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's a big guy that can possess the puck. It's mass. So I do think they missed Coyle last night. But, man, when the Capitals ramp it up, and I felt this way earlier in the year too, they just go to a place that the Bruins cannot go to.
And no shame in that. The Caps are one of the best teams in the league. They won the Cup a couple of years ago. Like, I just don't think roster-wise you're at that level. Most teams aren't. But maybe a move or two, and you could be. I mean, I don't think you're far. I don't think you're far from that. And you competed last night. And so goaltending got you the point. Like, that's part of the game, too. And you got that. How much longer do you want it is really a question. Bob McKenzie hit on this last night. We'll pick that up coming up later on this hour. I do want a quick Red Sox thought from Maz. And, wouldn't you know it, after 3-4 years of just bitching about Jackie Bradley and not wanting to watch this guy anymore, he lands on a team that I got to watch. I got to keep watching Jackie Bradley. How should I feel about that? We'll get to it after Big Jim Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilvereyFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I just can't seem to shake Jackie Bradley. Guy's going to be in my face for a full another year. Full another year, I'll be watching him on my phone, on my Brewers app all season long. How should I feel about Jackie Bradley Jr. to the Brewers, Mass?
Well, I feel the same way about him that I felt here, which is he's overrated. Now, again, he was making $12 million here. He's going to be making $12 million there, it sounds like. I think I saw 2 and 24, right? So, you know, is he an okay guy to have on a team? Sure. Yes. Just don't turn him into Ken Griffey Jr. like they did here. And people talked about him like he was the greatest thing ever. He's an excellent defensive outfielder. He's also a .238 hitter. I'm already getting worked up. He's not even here anymore.
So I've always felt he was a National League player. Put another way, he kind of sucks. So it's like I just feel like there's more sucky hitters in the National League, and they just fit better. You know, the mid-market, small-market National League outfielder. He fits on the Brewers. Like he makes sense for the Brewers. He just does because. That is a good deal. I mean, I don't see like everyone says it's such a great deal. So I guess Maz, there's a opt out after year one, and there's a lot of deferrals in there. So without getting into the nitty gritty, because I don't really care that much to get into the nitty gritty of his contract, the consensus is it's a real team friendly deal, and you know, it could be a win win because he could opt out after year one. COVID just sort of comes to an end. The buildings get full again. New CBA, and next year's a real big free agent year. Right? Like the money's back on the table next year. So he can have a real big free agent year this year for the Brewers, go back to the market next year, really make his money there. And so, you know, there it is. So he's an outfielder who's going to hit 238, 240, 250, you know, in a good year. And you know what? There's a lot of those in the NL Central. And so he's just another one. And it's like, okay, fine. But, you know, the overrating of Jackie Bradley continues. Like I heard Beetle read this earlier today, Buster Olney's tweet. There are going to be teams, including the Red Sox, that look back and kick themselves that they didn't take advantage of the opportunity to sign Jackie Bradley Jr. for such team-friendly terms. If healthy, his production will probably go well beyond the $24 million two-year deal. I mean, what does that mean? Again, so is he just going on the zone rating thing? Because offensively, what's he going to do that makes you go, oh, what a bargain for $12 million a year? Like, well, what's his ceiling? Is it possible for him to be a 300 hitter?
I mean, is it possible? Sure. In a fluky year. I mean, I always think it's possible for most guys who are, but likely I would say no.
Maz, last year in 55 games, he hit .283.
Yep.
Okay. So that's easily the highest he's ever hit. If I'm just going year by year, his batting averages, 189, 198, 249, 267, 245, 234, 225, 283. I'm sorry. I look at a guy like that now in his ninth major league season and say, no, he can't hit 300. He's not going to hit 300.
Right, he's turning 31 years old. The best part of that tweet, too, is you forgot to add that someone quickly replied, did you just copy and paste Scott Boras' text, or did you add some words yourself? Because that thing reads like it's just PR spin is all that is.
Oh, total. Look, again, so I'm just saying, when you say, is it possible? I think it's possible for any guy to have a great year.
I don't.
Is he the kind of guy you're going to miss? My answer is no. No, you don't miss that kind of guy. You know, you miss a Mookie Betts, you miss a Bogarts or a J.D. Martinez or even a Devers. You don't miss a guy like this. You find a guy to replace a guy like this. It's not that big a loss.
Oh, but the nerds love him, man. The nerds love this guy. You know, in Milwaukee, Lorenzo Cain is our center fielder, and I'd rather play Lo Cain than I'd rather play Jackie Bradley. He's going to have to play right or something. Yelich isn't left. So, like, he's kind of a platoon. I think that's an expensive platoon for a team like Milwaukee, but Lorenzo Cain, I think, is 35. He bagged out of last year, so he's not exactly the most reliable guy. And he's right-handed, so maybe there's a left-right thing there, but that's expensive. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think a team like the Brewers do it because they are run by nerds. Again, you think you got a nerd. We got one too, baby. And he looks at the zone ratings, and he looks at the efficiency of the contract and his war probably. Jackie Bradley probably does well on the war you know, stupidity. And the nerd says, well, we can't not do this. Like, this is just too much value. And so it's a nerd. It's a nerd call.
I mean, with all due respect, isn't the whole city kind of nerdy?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of things. It's fat. It's ugly. It's not. It's just it's a lot of things. But our baseball team is run by nerds like you read about. So anyway, you guys get the benefit of not having to watch this guy or listen to fans clamor about this guy. But now I do. Maz, you wanted to follow up on just a few quick Red Sox things from yesterday?
Yeah, so I had mentioned to you that over the last couple of days, I saw a couple of guys that Bloom had picked up that looked half decent when they threw the ball. And again, I'm not telling you they can play or they can't. I'm just telling you that this is what Chaim Bloom was brought here for, and let's see what they can get. One of the guys I mentioned was Garrett Whitlock, who's a right-handed pitcher, and I said this is the guy they bought in the Chad Ottavino deal. I was wrong. Whitlock is a Rule 5 pick. They get a different guy from the Yankees in the Ottavino deal. But regardless, between that, Nick Pivetta throwing the ball pretty well yesterday. Again, Connor Seabold a couple of days ago. I thought Martin Perez looked pretty good coming out of the gate. And these guys have all gone a couple of innings. A lot of them have, at least the starters. And my takeaway from all this out of the gate is this. The Red Sox are serious this year about their pitching. As opposed to a couple of years ago after they won the World Series, we remember, they started the season, they were not ready to pitch. They were not ready. They had a different staff, I admit, veteran guys. They had come off a World Series, but they took a very sort of laissez-faire, cavalier approach, and it cost them badly at the beginning of the season. Now, last year was flipped upside down for everybody, so it's hard to draw any comparison to last year. But this year, it looks to me like they came in serious about working on their pitching staff at the beginning of the year. And so I find that to be encouraging. I think that's a good sign. This Whitlock kid has a Rule 5 because I'm a little obsessed with him at the moment. I thought he looked pretty good the other day. And I would just tell you that the Rule 5 guys have to stay on your roster for the whole year or you lose them. And if I were the Red Sox, based on what I saw in one day, in like 20 pitches, I'd keep this kid.
What'd you say?
So he's got a good live fastball that moves. And moves in on right-handed batters. And, you know, he throws it downhill, like on a downward plane. You know, as baseball people would say, it's got good tilt. It's not great tilt, but it's pretty good. So, but the big thing is the fastball and the movement on it. And he's a big kid. So I just don't think they have guys like him. And so I looked at him and went, ooh, like there's stuff there. And his minor league numbers are decent. I'd ride it out with this kid. I'd keep him on the roster.
Roster's expanded this year? Is it the 40-man or is it just the major league roster?
No, he's got to be on the big league roster. He's got to be on the big league roster all year long. There's ways to fudge that, you know, disable this, what have you. But I think, you know, even if he's a mop-up guy, so what? So what? Keep him. Like, it's not like you're busting with arms that you can't carry a guy like this. I would carry him.
Okay, there's a little baseball minute for you when we come back to your Bruins thoughts. And you can mix in calls on this, please, by all means. We'll take it. Bob McKenzie, the information guy, dropped some nuggets last night on the Bruins and the trade deadline and reaching out to Tuukka Rask to see if he would like to come back to Boston on a contract extension. They're reaching out to him. How do we feel about that? We'll get to it right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @ Felger.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the radio.com app.
The interesting thing for me is they've got both goaltenders. Yaro Halak, their backup goaltender, and of course Tuukka Rask, their veteran number one. They're both on expiring contracts. So could there be contract talks in season to get something done? And I think the short answer to that is, yes, the Bruins are not opposed to bringing back one or both of these guys and doing in-season contracts if they get the sense from the goaltenders that's what they want to do. Rask is really the key here. How much longer does he want to play? And I think the Bruins are waiting for some sort of indication from him on how he'd like to proceed, but the Bruins, by all means, are open to having one or both of these guys back. They have to, you know, a little bit of a dance in terms of Jeremy Swayman or Daniel Vladar. Their younger goalies in the system, is one of them ready to step up just yet, or how would all those pieces of the puzzle fit? But all things considered, the veteran goaltender Rask and veteran Halak may be getting contracts before the end of the season if that's the way they want to go.
All right, forget the Halak piece. You know, that's really not a factor. Maz, what do you make of that report of the Bruins reaching out to Rask as if he wants to keep playing and wants to play here? And if so, they can do a contract now. How do you feel about that?
Well, so I don't mind it. I like Rask. And when I say I like him, I need to know what the alternative is going to be. I also need to know what the money is going to be before, you know, before I'm ready to ship him off to, you know, Siberia, wherever else everyone like Murray wants them to go. So I just caution people. Be careful of what you wish for. Because you can say you hate Rask in the big games, and I can't say necessarily that I blame you or what have you. But if you bring in a guy who sucks, you're going to miss him badly. And last night was proof that when he's on his game, he keeps you in it.
Yeah, he got you the point last night, and he has games like that. And so you'll be competitive with Rask, and I can understand why people would want to extend him. By the way, I read this as both of them. They're talking to both of them because they don't want to lose them both, one or the other, to Seattle for the expansion draft. That's what I think it's about. But I get why you'd want to do it, and go ahead, do it. I mean, you're never going to win a cup with the guy, but go ahead, do it.
Well, here's what I wonder. My conspiracy theory is this. He tacked it onto the back of a report of, you know, a trade deadline item. You know, trade deadline about the Bruins having cap room to go make a move if they want to add a pretty substantial piece. You know, the Caps are sort of hamstrung with their finances, but the Bruins have some room. We talked about this yesterday, actually, a little bit. That, mm-hmm. You know, they have some room to do something, and if they send a little money out the door, they can really do something. They could really add a nice salary and a nice piece if they wanted to. And then he got to the goalie thing, which led me to believe they're related. And, related how? I don't know, but, would they even be looking at a piece that has term, you know, that has more than 1 year left, and they bring some guy who's under contract next year, and so they got to know what their books are going to look like next year. And they got to know what we're going to pay the goalie next year. I mean, that's one way to look at that. There's another way to look at it and say, well, if he wants to go to market and he wants another $7 million a year deal and we're not going to do that, that's not in our plans, then are we going to lose him for nothing in the offseason, or would we look to deal him now? Like, what? And I don't think that's realistic because I think they're wedded to him. So, like, I'll say that in the same breath. I don't think that they would trade Rask now. I think this is it. You know, they're going to go down with the ship with him again if that's what it comes to. But I just think it's related in some way, shape, or form, you know, because it was tacked onto the trade deadline item. And there's just, you know, for a player who's going to go to market, if it were any other player, and we were talking about this with Krug last year, you know, we'll talk about with anyone who's in an expiring contract and you get to the deadline, you always have to face that question. Do you trade the guy now and get something in return versus losing him for nothing as a free agent? We would do that with any skater. And the goalie thing's different, and Rask is certainly different, but I don't know. If you're smart, you sort of treat it the same way. And you just know. You got to have that knowledge. Is he dead set on going to market? Do we have no chance of re-signing him? And if not, we've got to just consider it. And, you know, we'll see what those trade talks look like, but we know we're going to lose the goalie in the offseason. Should he be part of these conversations? Or we're looking at a big-ticket item, a real big-ticket item, and we got room for him this year. Now we got to start looking at down the road. And now we got to look at what our books are going to look like next year, and we have a few question marks left, and one is in net. So are you in, Rask, and what are you looking for? And let's get that settled so we know what we have next year. And I think it's related in that way. And I'm frankly, and not to ride the fence, but I'm okay with either. Like, are your chances better to win a cup with the next goalie? Or are they better with eventually Rask is just going to win one, isn't he? I mean, he's that good. He's been that good for that long. Eventually that guy wins. Eventually, doesn't he?
No.
I mean, right. Tell Ranger fans that. Tell Hank Lundqvist that. Tell Pekka Rinne that. You know, there are guys. Tell the Canadiens and Carey Price.
Yeah.
He hasn't won anything either. So it's like half of me says every dog has his day. He's knocking at the door. He's been a really consistent guy for 10 years. Eventually that guy wins at least once. He breaks through, right? That has to be. And then on the other hand, I can name you a half dozen goalies I just did who are going to make the Hall of Fame that didn't and won't and never will. And I sort of go back and forth on that. You could do much worse with your next goalie. I fully acknowledge that. But I also think he is not someone you can rely on. And I don't think he's a Stanley Cup goalie. I don't. I think he's a Stanley Cup talent. I think he's great for the regular season and into the playoffs. But Game 7, man, I don't have any faith. So it's like I go either way on that. All right, so there's your Rask thought. And there's your Bruins thought. Let's go back to your phones here on everything that we've mentioned so far. Ed in Marshfield. What do you got, Ed?
Hey, Felga, I think you're totally wrong about Chara. Murray's right. He's going to be the difference between Washington and Boston in the playoffs. And with Frederick and him and Tuukka saved the game last night. If he didn't show up like he did, the Bruins would have got run out of the building. Someone has to do that job. No one's willing to do it but him. Let him do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think they need Frederick for a matchup like that. They need Frederick for the Canadians. I mean, for the Capitals. They need him.
Yeah, it's not
like that.
Yeah, it's not about Frederick doing that job. I'm okay with him doing that job. I just think last night he took it to a clownish level. So that's all. I like the player. I want him to play. I can find any hack to, you know, try to bait Ovechkin. I can have any hack do that. So can the kid play or not? Like, that's the part. I don't want him to turn into just a goon. Don't be just a goon.
Matt in Framingham. Go ahead, please.
Look, Tony, I don't want to dump on you like the rest of the callers because I actually hear what you're saying about Frederick.
Dump away. It's okay.
I just want to be fair here. Let me ask you a question. How many times on the Felger and Nash show or any other show have we seen the other team take liberties on the Bruins and the Bruins just stand there like it's at the bus stop waiting for someone to jump in? I understand Frederick is not a special player right now. Totally buy that. But when you want to be a team that wants to compete with the Capitals, you got to find a way to get under their skin and get the best players off the ice. Otherwise,
I mean, I'm just going to cut you off there, Maz. You want to respond?
Well, so look, again, I would tell you that the one thing that really bugged me is when he dropped the gloves and, like, grabbed Ovechkin's jersey, like, let's go. And Ovechkin looked at him like, are you serious? And it's so you want to cross-check him? You want to bait him? You want to get him into the box? You want to hit him? Have a blast. But like, I just felt like it crossed a line. Like, again, there's been a lot of hype about Frederick here in the early part of the year. And it started with Washington early in the year when he took on Wilson. Whoa, there's an eye-opener. And I think the kid's now, like, bought into it and read his own clippings on it. And like, oh, people like this, so I'm going to give them more of it. And last night, there's a time for it. You can do it by just playing hard and being a complete pain in the ass. And so I would like to see him do it that way. That's all. I'm not even anti-fighting. I'm not one of those guys. I just thought, like, last night, it felt contrived to me.
I thought last night was the exact time to do it, the exact opponent to do it. And he did his job. He got Ovechkin off the ice in the third period. Alex on the South Shore. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, thanks. On that note, I just want to say, Tony, I think you're wrong on this one. Frederick was bothering him. I think he held his own against Wilson. Ovechkin knew it, and that's why he didn't want to throw down. He couldn't jump like a 19-year-old kid like he did Svechnikov in the playoffs a couple of years ago. He knew he was a guy that could handle himself, and he wanted no part of it. And I think that's what you saw last night was Ovi pussing out, and that's what you saw. And that's why he jabbed him in the nads instead of going toe-to-toe with him.
Don't flatter yourself as a Bruins fan, seriously. Like, say what you want about Ovechkin, okay? And I'm telling you, I didn't love the guy as a player earlier in his career either. I mean, he half-assed it more often than not. And he was a big reason why they didn't win in the playoffs because he was a one-zone player, particularly on the power play. I mean, that's all he was, and he started to change more recently. But he's mean. He can be mean, and he's tough. What he did to Svechnikov, he didn't jump him. The kid wanted to what?
Have you watched? I actually just watched it.
Again?
Yeah,
I thought the kid wanted to fight him.
In the commercial break. I mean, when I say he jumped him, he got the jump on him. Let's put it like that. The kid wanted to fight. Yeah, they squared off. But Ovechkin got the jump on him. I mean, let me put it to you like that. That Ovechkin was quicker with the gloves off and quicker to engage. And he knocked him clean out. I mean, he knocked that poor kid out.
He did.
And I don't know, maybe Frederick had seen the tape. And he said, I'm not going to be second. I'm not going to be second to the fight. If Ovechkin's going to jump me, I'm going to be ready.
Do you think Ovechkin was afraid of Frederick?
No.
No, afraid's the wrong word.
Okay, so this guy said he wanted no part of him. I mean, come on.
Well,
what, Frederick all of a sudden is who, the biggest, baddest guy in the league now?
Yeah, afraid's the wrong word, but
I thought he gave Frederick a lesson in the NHL's hierarchy. You're not on my level, kid, so take this shot to the nuts. That's what that was.
That's how I felt, Murray, totally.
Well, but that, see, I don't think Ovechkin, people give him credit because people love the diss, right? And the look to Frederick was such a diss. It was he just put him in his place by a look, which people love because we're all Twitter bitches now and you just want to see the diss. But really, I think it's a dick move by Ovechkin. I mean, it wasn't unreasonable for Frederick to drop the gloves there, in my opinion. And then Ovechkin was a total chump at the end of the game with the shot to the guy's gonads. So I don't look at Frederick the way you do, Maz. Well, you know, I mean, just agree to disagree with that. I think he did his job. And I think Ovechkin's the one that looks bad on that last night.
Yeah, so again, I told you, I got no issue with Frederick being a quote-unquote agitator. I like that, too. I like him standing up for the Bruins. I like that, too. I don't want him to be just a hack. And last night, he felt like a hack.
All right, we can continue with this all day. A lot of talkable points on that game. Overall, good product last night, wouldn't you say, Maz?
Great.
Like, that was a good regular season hockey game, you know, a good low scoring game, which is hard. I think a lot of the low scoring games I have a hard time with because people want to say intense low scoring game when usually really it's just nothing happening. That was one of those games that was low scoring but intense, competitive. Like, that was a good regular season product.
Celtics and Bruins have given us a good product the last couple of nights.
I mean, there were 16 shots in the game total, I think, at the end of the second period. Was it 9-7? At the end of the second period or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was absurd. And but it wasn't like watching the Islanders play.
Right.
You had to fight for pucks last night, right? You had to fight for pucks. You had to fight for space. And I just think the competitiveness, that product is so much better when there's actual resistance. Like, that's why I like defense. When you dig in and play D, it gets hard. And who's going to win? I thought that game was great.
Okay, so we'll have it on the board all game long, or all day long, rather. I want to get to the Patriots and the draft, and the Patriots and their quarterback. And I had a pretty substantial developing opinion form overnight. I just want to, I don't know if there's some sort of news alert that we should send out, but I do have a take.
This is breaking
exactly.
Sports news.
I have a late-breaking opinion. I have a late-breaking take/opinion.
That's actually why we play the breaking news sounder, because you have a take.
No, I know.
Is breaking sports news.
It's a borderline prediction, which I hate to give.
Ooh.
And Stu demands, but because I also, well, I'll explain it coming back. But
are the Patriots going to make a video out of this, Mike?
Oh, I hope.
No, I know.
Is breaking sports news.
It's a borderline prediction, which I hate to give.
Ooh.
And Stu demands, but because I also, well, I'll explain it coming back. But
are the Patriots going to make a video out of this, Mike?
Oh, I hope so.
What the Patriots are going to do at the draft and at quarterback, I have the answer for you after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Stick around.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.